Chapter 50, 8 p.m. Stephanie could not recall the last time she and Mark had sat and talked, perhaps not since he was a teenager. That was how deep the chasm between them ran. Now they had retreated to a room atop one of the chateau's towers.
"You may or may not believe this, but I think about you and your father every day. I loved your father, but once he came across the Wren story, he changed his focus. That whole thing took him over. At the time, I resented that."
"Which I can understand. What I don't understand is why you made him choose between you and what he thought was important."
"The day we buried him, I knew how wrong I'd been," said Stephanie, "but I couldn't bring him back."
"I hated you that day."
"I know."
"Yet you just flew home and left me in France."
"I thought that was what you wanted."
"It was. But for the past 5 years, I've had a lot of time to reflect," said Mark. "The master championed you, though I'm only now realizing what he meant by a lot of his comments. In the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus says, 'Whoever does not hate their father and mother as I do cannot be my disciple.' Then he says, 'Whoever does not love their father and mother as I do cannot be my disciple.' I'm beginning to understand those contradictory statements. I hated you, Mother."
"But do you love me too?"
Silence loomed between them, and it tore at her heart. Finally, he said,
"You're my mother."
"That's not an answer."
"It's all you're going to get."
She didn't press. Her chance to demand anything had long passed.
"Are you still head of the Magellan Billet?" he asked.
She appreciated the change in subject.
"As far as I know, but I've probably pushed my luck the past few days. Cotton and I haven't been inconspicuous."
"He seems like a good man."
"The best. I didn't want to involve him, but he insisted."
"It's good to have friends like that."
"You have one too."
"Jeffrey?"
"He's more my oracle than a friend. The master swore him to me."
"Why? I don't know."
"He would defend you with his life, that much is clear."
"I'm not accustomed to people laying down their lives for me."
She recalled what the master had said in his note to her about Mark not possessing the resolve to finish his battles. She told him exactly what the master wrote. He listened in silence.
"What would you have done if you had been elected master?" she asked.
"A part of me was glad I lost."
She was amazed.
"Why?"
"I'm a college professor, not a leader."
"You're a man in the middle of an important conflict, one that other men are waiting to see resolved."
"The master is right about me."
She stared at him with undisguised dismay.
"Your father would be ashamed to hear you say that."
She waited for his anger to come, but Mark merely sat silent.
"I probably killed a man today," Mark said in a whisper. "How would Dad have felt about that?"
She'd been waiting for a mention.
"Cotton told me you had no choice."
"I watched the body roll down. Strange the feeling that goes through you, knowing you've just taken a man's life."
"Life is one choice after another. He chose wrong."
"You do it all the time, don't you? Make those kind of decisions?" Mark said.
"They happen every day."
"My heart isn't cold enough for that."
"And mine is?"
She resented the implication.
"You tell me."
"I do my job, Mark. That man chose his fate, not you."
"No, de Roquefort chose it. He sent him out on that precipice, knowing there'd be a confrontation."
"And that's the problem with your order, Mark. Unquestioned loyalty is not a good thing. No country, no army, no leader has ever survived who insisted on such foolishness. My agents make their own choices."
A moment of strained silence passed.
"You're right," he finally muttered. "Dad would be ashamed of me."
She decided to risk it.
"Mark, your father's gone. He's been dead a long time. For me, you've been dead 5 years. But you're here now. Is there no room within you for forgiveness?"
Hope laced her plea. He stood from the chair.
"No, Mother, there's not."
And he walked from the room.